pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Friday, everyone, as we welcome you into the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am not Paul Feinbaum, but still very excited to be here with you on this Friday afternoon. Alyssa Lang joining you, and thank you so much for joining me on this Feinbaum Friday. We've got a loaded show for you. We will get to your calls as soon as we talk to our first guest, Matt Stinchcomb, coming up in just a moment. He'll be on the call for one of our SEC spring games going down this weekend. South Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and OU all finishing up their spring games this weekend. So we'll talk plenty of football throughout the course of the show, but we do have some headlines for you as always. Let's start out in Como. Missouri targets a $250 million renovation of Memorial Stadium by 2026. Here's a look at some of the mock-ups, what it might look like. Ooh, that looks nice. Can't wait to be on the sidelines for my first game after that project is complete. Going to be big for Eli Drinkwitz and the squad out there in Como. The NCAA also approving helmet communication. 2-minute warning for college football. That announced earlier this afternoon. We started talking a little bit about that back during the bowl season. Some teams opting into using that helmet communication. Of course, that shuts off 15 seconds before the play begins. Something that we'll continue to talk about more when it comes to the landscape of college football, clearly, as we move forward. FedEx is funding a $25 million Memphis NIL and what's believed to be the largest corporate partnership with athletes, that coming from CBS Sports. $25 million for Memphis, going to be big for them. And college football's unlimited transfers policy is shaking the sport, but it isn't anything new. Seth Emerson going to join us at 4 o'clock Eastern time to talk more about this. He just wrote a great article for The Athletic about how the transfer portal has, in a sense, been around a lot longer than many of us think, even going back to over 100 years ago. That story, really fascinating. Cannot wait to talk to him more about where we are right now in 2024. But we mentioned our first guest coming to us to talk some SEC football, joined now by Matt Stinchcomb, who's on the call for South Carolina spring game. That's coming up on Saturday night. Stinch, always great to talk to you. I have to know before we dive into X's and O's, are you and Zarzur going to count this win towards the Zarzur Stinchcomb South Carolina win column and kick me to the dust again like you like to do during the regular season?
No, wait a minute. I've not participated in any disparaging remarks. I may have been in the booth when they were made, but I was not party to them. I didn't script them, and I didn't co-sign on them. But the answer is yes. Yeah, we absolutely will count this. And I think we are, you know, going to have to note that you are not participating in what is an inevitable win for the Gamecocks on Saturday, which will kind of digs that hole deeper for you. And the mountain for us from a win-loss standpoint continues to improve. So, yes, this will be counted, and we've actually checked with the folks that handle the sports almanacs, et cetera, and it will be an official W for the Gamecocks while we are on the call. It's been a heck of a run.
For those who have no idea what I'm referring to there, Stinch is one of my broadcast partners for college football, as well as Taylor Zarzur, who will be on the call for the South Carolina spring game. And they like to spread lies that when I'm on the field, the Gamecocks tend to lose. And when I'm not there and they're just there, they tend to win. But that's enough about that topic. Stinch, of course, Gamecock fans really excited to see what the future of the quarterback position looks like in Columbia, with Spencer Rattler having moved on to the NFL draft. You've got Lenoris Sellers, you got Robbie Ashford in the conversation. What has your conversation been like with the coaches as far as what they're looking forward to seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, we're not going to see what this offense is going to look like. Shocker. There's a spoiler alert, everybody, is that these spring games, these teams don't want to show you a whole lot. And so we're not going to see a lot of what I think will ultimately be the offense that we'll see this fall. But we will be able to see, you know, what type of chemistry these players have with one another, which is becoming a bigger and bigger element. It's always been a big part of wins and losses, but now you know, with the advent of the transfer portal, new faces and new places, it's not just turnover from a depth chart standpoint, but from a true, from a roster standpoint. This guy is not only new to the starting position, let's say, but he's new to the whole program. And having come from another college program, like Robbie Ashford, who's on his third now, having started at Oregon and went to Auburn, and then, of course, finds himself in Columbia, South Carolina now. What the coaches did say is that they are, you know, talents and skill sets that are separate and apart from what they had last year with Spencer Rattler. You know, we're talking about a guy that, you know, is likely, what, is as high as a second-round draft pick next year. And so because of it, what they're thinking is that, look, it makes sense to take a couple of guys who are of good size and are elite runners. Elite is the word that they would use for Robbie Ashford, who incidentally is up to 240 pounds. So he's a load. That changes the dynamic of their running game. And we did not see the QB run game with Spencer Rattler, a guy who's mobile, but he isn't a runner. He's not a dual threat. And these guys definitely are. In fact, the emphasis would be more in the passing game. And that kind of brings us to, you know, the receiver position. No Xavier Leggett. Obviously a sizable loss there. He'll be taking his talents to Sundays and helping some NFL roster somewhere. So who's going to emerge there? We won't see Nick Harbor. He's running for the track team and doing a great job there, I'm sure. And so other guys are going to have to emerge. Some true freshmen they think are going to be able to contribute. They've got a ton of transfers that have come into this program. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys perform and just the, you know, the garden variety type plays. Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see a lot of what I think will inevitably be the QB run game or QB run element that we'll see this fall. But we will be able to see some of these guys moving around in Williams-Brice Stadium, and that'll be fun to see. But I don't know that we're going to get a real good indication of what this team's going to look like offensively or defensively for that matter.
Knowing that we'll probably see that QB run game that you're talking about eventually, maybe not tomorrow, but like you said, in the fall, that makes me wonder about South Carolina's offensive line, given the challenges we saw a year ago. Now, a lot of those challenges were injury. I believe 14 scholarship players ended up with season-ending injuries, and many of those came from the offensive line. At what point, maybe specific to South Carolina or generally in college football, as a former O-lineman yourself, at what point are you confident in what you have as a group? And what point are you aware, I should say, of the type of O-line that you're going to be able to put out there to protect your dual threat quarterback by the time you get to week one? Or is it something that you just figure out by the time the season rolls around?
Well, you hope that you can go into summer camp with an idea of who your guys are and they can stay healthy enough to where they can start to gel. You know, maybe you have a swing player, especially if you're a tempo team, or if you got guys that you know, need rep rest during the season. So maybe you have six, a top six. Sometimes the deeper teams have a top seven. You think of the Georgias, it'll roll at one of the guard spots, one of the tackle spots. But a lot of times you need five guys that know how to play together. And it's not good enough to just be good enough by yourself. You have to be good enough in conjunction with the other four guys. So the earlier you can determine that, the better. And they seem to feel pretty darn good with what they have at center and at right tackle, and they like what they have at the other three positions. It's just somewhat undecided. You know, guys that just aren't healthy enough. Last year they were down, I think they ended up being, by the end of the season, six O-linemen, two of them going into the season they thought would have been starters. And so now it's a question of, can you keep guys healthy, which Coach Beamer said he's changed his approach to practice in some ways, to make sure that they're getting their best players on the field when Saturday rolls around in the fall, because it's a pivotal part. It's a line of scrimmage league. All the coaches say it because they mean it. The hard part is getting those right five guys, and you hit on it. And you get a mobile quarterback, a dual-threat quarterback, a guy that can bring that run element. That can help an offensive line out, obviously from a protection standpoint, but in the run game too, because you pick up, quote-unquote, pick up a blocker. You know, it's not just a quarterback carrying out a play fake. Now, that quarterback is a potential runner. Well, that makes that running back in the backfield with him a potential blocker. So you pick up a gap that way. You pick up a blocker in that way. So that helps. That always helps because it typically creates a numbers advantage, or at least numbers, gets the numbers to neutral. You don't have a defender that you can't block if your quarterback is a runner. That really kind of evens the playing field, especially when you're maybe undermanned from a personnel standpoint. You just don't have the horses up front. The QB run game can really help out. They think they've got the pieces. You know, they need a little bit more depth at wide receiver and O-line, but they like the pieces. They just haven't figured out how they all fit together just yet.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a fair statement for not just South Carolina, but a lot of other programs in the SEC right now, especially with the transfer portal portaling as we've been used to it, not even knowing what these rosters are going to look like by the time we get to the fall or what the depth chart will look like from those rosters. That being said, Stinch, as you've watched spring games, as you've worked through kind of what the status of so many programs in the Southeastern Conference are as we approach summer, what programs are you high on as far as teams we could be talking about early when it comes to making it to Atlanta for an SEC championship next season?
You know, it's funny. I mean, are people out there, are they actively doing that? I mean, because
we're always doing that, you know, Stinch. What do you mean?
I know, but I mean, portals are going to portal. And the portal is portaling as we speak. And if we do it now, I mean, that is harder now than it's ever been. It was always tricky because, you know, spring's kind of tough and some guys get better, some guys get worse, and some guys, you know, if they get a little free time in the summer, they get fat or skinny or whatever it is. And so next thing you know, it doesn't work out for them. But now it's, wow, I could see a team or a unit or a player and be like, man, he looked really good. Too bad he's not going to play for that team that I just saw him play for. I mean, it's just, I don't know that there are some teams I think that aren't immune to it, but they got enough buffer. You know, you got like, if you don't like Georgia and what they have coming back and what they, even with, you know, the portal still open and all the things, I don't know what you're looking at. You know, in my view, Georgia's should be the front runner for a national title. No question should be a playoff team. And if they don't, you know, it's kind of hard to contemplate what it would have to look like were they to not make the playoffs today. Boy, that's massive underachievement. Otherwise, though, you're looking around and you're going, poof, man, what roster do I really like that could endure a significant loss? Pick one. And you can't get very far. I mean, it just isn't. I like Missouri a lot. Boy, I like what they have coming back. How much attrition can they endure? And they might not endure any, incidentally. They might hang on to everybody. But especially after what we saw from them last year, kind of like what Missouri has coming back. And we don't really know what's going to emerge. Spring's always been tricky to figure that out. But now it's trickier than ever because even teams that you really like, who knows? If they look too good in the spring, that guy might start looking around for greener pastures than where he currently is, where otherwise you'd be like, God, this kid, whoever he is a freshman. It's a guy that maybe transferred in there and can now transfer once again. You know, that spring game, all it did was help him lever up and maybe head to another program. So now it's just, let's just enjoy the spring for what it is. This is the exhibition of exhibitions with players that are, you know, may or may not take the field for that same program by the time fall rolls around. There's just not enough rosters out there right now where you go, it doesn't matter. These guys could lose X number of players and they'd still be a really good football team. You just can't say that about many squads right now.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, you look at the portal where it stands right now and the rosters where they stand right now, and you can't help but look at Ole Miss as a team that has hit the portal hard in the Lane Kiffin era, but their spring game, not that the spring game, to your point, is really going to show you much about what you can expect about the upcoming season. Their spring game was very unconventional. We had the call for Georgia's spring game a year ago, and I remember we had that conversation with Kirby Smart as far as, would you like to change this up as a college football community, maybe playing an FCS opponent? And Kirby Smart was pretty open with us as far as, hey, when we scrimmage Georgia on Georgia, I get more guys, more reps. Based off of what we saw from Ole Miss and their spring game this season, based off of where we are with the transfer portal and knowing that these rosters are in flux, do you think that we could see more changes from what we're doing in these spring games moving forward?
Yeah, Yeah, I do. Because, you know, there's a lot of hazard in there, you know, and these coaches will tell you it changes the way that they're coaching, or it's certainly influencing the way that they think about practices. And, you know, like Kirby pointed out, if we play ourselves, then I get to start 44 guys. 44 guys of our rosters, you know, roughly half of your scholarship allotment, which, you know, the 85 limit is a mirage now with NIL. But that's about half your scholarship players, let's say, that are going to get the quote-unquote start in the spring game, right? You got 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and hey, we punted, and now we're still on offense. Oh, we're still on defense. There's another 22. So because of that, you can keep them all happy, except for all the others, right? And so there's always somebody that gets cheated. But if you're pushing golf carts around and you're weaving through cones and doing whatever else they were doing, like hitting wiffle balls or something, then, you know, nobody really starts. Nobody really doesn't start. You're not really even playing football. It's a carnival. I don't know if people want to see it or not, but it is an interesting take. You know, what Ole Miss did is an interesting take. You know, let's not go out. They're not going to go out there and pretend. Part of it might be, too, we haven't been practicing together enough for us to make this look good. And there's that element, too. So instead of going out here and putting on television what is supposed to be a game with a roster of guys that don't know how to play together yet, let's skip all that. Let's not give them something to be worried about and or criticize or whatever. And let's go out here and do stuff that has little to nothing to do with football. It's not a bad approach. Might be born of necessity. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see one team playing another team or an FCS team. There's the list of cons vastly outweigh the list of pros to doing something like that right now.
Yeah, you have to imagine if you go up and yuck it up against an FCS team and you're Alabama or you're Georgia or your team with high expectations, nobody's going to want to answer those questions after that scrimmage. So We'll see what the future of the spring looks like, Stinch. Have the best time in Columbia under the lights with Taylor on Saturday night. Can't wait to watch you guys.
Man, fired up. A prime time spring game.
It's always fun, certainly when they've got the lights going at Williams-Brice Stadium. Big shout out to Matt Stinchcomb for joining us. You can tune in to South Carolina's spring game coming up on the SEC Network. That'll be on Saturday night. Not the only spring football, as we mentioned. You've also got Mississippi State, Texas, Texas A&M, and OU all finishing up their spring ball on Saturday as well. We're going to take a break. Your calls on the other side right here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul on this Feinbaum Friday as we head to the phone lines now to start to take your calls. Let's head to G in Atlanta. Go ahead, G.
Hey, Ms. Lang. Thank you for having my call.
Thank you for calling.
I want to give you flowers for being such a great broadcaster and now being a nice host for the Paul Feinbaum Show. You do a great job, Ms. Lane, so you continue doing that. I enjoy your work.
Gee, that is so kind of you to say that. You have no idea how much
I appreciate that. Yeah, now I got two questions for you, but Mr. Saints Carl, which I like, I'm a Georgia player. I'm a Georgia fan, and I enjoyed him when he played in UGA. And he answered some questions for me, but my first one is about spring football. Do you think that it's about to come to an end because of some of the shenanigans that was played over the weekend with up in Columbus? They're playing powder puff football, two-hand tag, and down at Ole Miss, they're playing arena football with the short field. And they're really showing off what they're going to do in the fall because they're trying to show their opponents that they don't throw the ball long and deep. That's why they play that type of game. And second of all, I want to ask you, like I said, Matt touched this. Why not play some of the FCS schools in spring football so they could generate some revenue? Because in the future, your conference is going to start playing more games in conference, and they're going to drop off teams. So I figured, but then Matt touched on it. And so therefore, I know, that's not going to happen. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, gee, it's a great question. Like I said to Matt, it's something we've talked about for the last few years, just as football has evolved and as spring ball has evolved, to your point. I don't think spring ball is ever going to go away, right? Reps are everything, and every coach in any sport you talk to talks about how important it is just to get guys on the field. And even from a standpoint of playing a spring game and being able to take the true freshmen and walk them through the tunnel, go through a game day atmosphere, being in the middle of the stadium for the first time, playing in front of those types of fans, that is such invaluable experience. And you know what Ole Miss did, like you said, unconventional, a little different. Wouldn't be surprised, though, if we saw
they were showing opponents what they're going to do. To me, because you couldn't feel down, you just throwing straight bombs to somebody every play. So that would let me know, the defensive coordinator in the league, that, okay, I see what they want to do. They say you don't tip off what you want to do, but they definitely tipped off what they wanted to do. And like I said, so, but anyway, Melissa, I enjoyed talking to you, and you do a great job, like I say, and hopefully I see you on TV on the sidelines this fall.
I love it. Gee, thank you so much for the call. Have a great rest of the day.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
All right, let's head to Auburn Mike in Alabama. Auburn Mike, how's it going today?
Going good. What's up? Could you see Jeff Saber being a candidate for the Colorado job, depending on what happens with Deion, if it's his last season or not?
Oh, man, that's an interesting question with everything that's been chatted about, I guess, when it comes to Colorado on social media over the last few days. I mean, Jeff Traylor, I've never met him before. I've never been able to speak to him. But everyone who I talk to who knows Jeff Traylor has nothing but great things to say about him. I believe he was on with Paul earlier this week. So I would expect him to be a name, Colorado or not, that continues to get floated around anytime a coaching job is open at this point.
Yes, ma'am. I have another question. How do you feel about your South Carolina Gamecocks?
That's a great question. I think the spring game tomorrow is going to be interesting. We were just talking with Matt Stinchcomb about it, and I'm very much in the same camp as Stinch, right? There's only so much you're going to learn from a spring game about what the future of your program is going to look like. But I think I speak for a lot of Gamecock fans when I say you're really excited to see what Lenoris Sellers is going to bring to the quarterback position. He was a true freshman last season, sat behind Spencer Rattler, who's now heading off to the NFL. So he's a guy who's extremely talented, from all reports, has grabbed this position by the horns to try to learn it and be a leader for this program. I think the biggest thing for South Carolina to get through the spring, get through the summer, and get through fall camp injury-free. That's the biggest thing for everybody, but especially after what we saw last season. You can't have injuries pile up if you're South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoy your work. Thank you for the call.
Thank you so much, Auburn Mike. Thanks for calling in. Let's head to John in Louisville. John, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, listen. Thank you for sitting on Paul's chair today. We appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah. Hey, I've got four takeaways from that great interview Paul had with Tom Mars, but just quickly, because I'll forget that next week, a quick shout out to Jim for an excellent phone feud yesterday with Larry. They had some good give and take, and they ended up throwing more love than shade at each other. I thought it was one of Jim's best.
Man, that's interesting you say that, because I actually didn't hear it yesterday. I was getting ready for SEC Now yesterday for our baseball coverage, and I heard that they threw down the gauntlet. Were they nice to each other?
Well, it is good give and take, but they ended up throwing more love than mud at each other. It was actually quite entertaining. So the four takeaways from the Tom Mars interview. First, it appears that the NCAA infraction committee did indeed have a vendetta toward Jim Harbaugh based on the discussion from Tom Mars. Second, John Calipari has been a client of Tom Mars for some 6 to 9 months, which suggests there's an NCAA matter involving him or and or Kentucky. I mean, you only involve Tom Mars if you're a Justin Fields or a Shea Patterson or a Jim Harbaugh. So I found that interesting. Three, it appears Tom Mars, if he didn't bring the two parties together, that is Calipari and Arkansas, he was definitely the conduit to get the deal consummated. And finally, I found it entertaining that Tom said that Jimmy Sexton's good for opening doors, but if you want to get a deal consummated, you hire someone like him, a per diem attorney, who can do the deal in 2 days and save your client $1 million.
It is interesting. You make a lot of great points there. I was telling producer of this show, Jamari, when I was getting ready today, that I could not stop listening to the Tom Mars interview yesterday because it was so fascinating. To your point, that final point, that fourth point, I could kind of speak to that from our own experience, right? We have TV contracts. I got to the SEC Network without an agent, without a Jimmy Sexton, if you will, right? So my first contract I did here, I did the exact same thing, right? Hire a lawyer, read over it, because I'm not smart enough to know what should be in the contract or what's not, and make it happen that way. But that doesn't tend to be seemingly how it typically goes, right? The agent's usually helping pull the strings or find the opening or connect the conversations. But in this case, that's what part of what makes it so interesting, hearing from Tom Mars that it didn't necessarily go that way.
Well, he had a nice infomercial at the end there, didn't he?
It was an interesting conversation. I just still sit here and say, I can't believe we're living in a time where we're going to look back on the last 4 or 5 months and be telling our kids and grandkids about the month that Nick Saban left Alabama. And then remember when Coach Cal left Kentucky and he stayed in the SEC and he went to Arkansas? Just like, imagine telling yourself 5 years ago that we would have been in the middle of this. It's crazy.
Or Jim Harbaugh going undefeated and turning down the highest contract for a college coach to go back to the pros. It's been a bizarre last 6 months, no doubt.
It really is, and it only gets more bizarre, seemingly, as the days goes on. But that's why we love college sports, right? It's always entertaining, and it's always something new every day.
Exactly. Have a great show and a great weekend, Alyssa.
Thank you so much, John, and thank you for calling. We are going to take a break. When we come back, more of your calls on the other side right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back into the Paul Feinbaum Show, hour number one. Alyssa Lang here with you. Thanks for hanging out with me on this Feinbaum Friday. Let's get to some more of your calls as we head to Matt in San Antonio.
Hey,
Matt,
Mr.
what's
Lang,
going on?
I kind of like you. We're here at SEC Nation with Paul and my brother Paul Feinbaum. I think you're pretty good SEC.
Thank you, Matt.
People on there. And I want to talk about Mike Elko in the spring game, but I'm glad that boring car is off. Talking to you now. I can't stand John from Louisville, the two losers you're talking about. I like about Mike Elko this hire. I'm glad he didn't go with Kentucky coach. I'm like, no, this man, you suck anyway. Don't come to College Station. If Mike Elko knows the land of A&M, he knows what A&M wants and how Jimbo Fisher, he was there. He experienced a toxic culture on the locker room, outside the locker room. I think he's going to bring a team that's more disciplined, more balanced, and knows that if you don't want to play for our team, you don't want to follow the rules, okay, you can leave. You can always get somebody else. And I think it's going to benefit A&M in the long run, even in recruiting, because I think Connor Whitman's going to be a better quarterback this year under Kansas State offensive coordinator they hired. I like that hire. I like this, the coaching staff he's brought together. And they said you're going to see a different spring game where he's going to let these quarterbacks fling that ball around. And I think A&M could finish, in my opinion, 9-3. And 10-2, and I just want your thoughts. And I think you should go on the show more often.
Well, Matt, I appreciate the call. Hey, I will come on the show as long as Paul invites me. Anytime he asks me to be here, I will be here. I'll make it happen.
A&M season this year. What's your opinion on what I
had
to say?
I'm right there with you. I was really excited when Texas A&M hired Mike Elko. I thought it was a home run hire. I thought when it came to some of the boxes that needed to be checked for the next guy in charge, Mike Elko checked a lot of those. Matt, you hit a great point as far as understanding.
Well, here's one thing SEC Nation needs to understand. You don't understand the rivalry between A&M and Texas. We hate each other bad.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of bad blood between each other. Some of the fans, of course, each other, but the rest of us, it's like, yeah, we don't like you much either. Shut up.
How excited are you for that game at the very end of the season against the Longhorns?
I'm so thrilled. I'm so pumped. When we play them, I'm like, hook them down, you losers. Hook them down. You want to cry like a little baby? You had that stupid role. You couldn't do that in the Big 12. Well, go cry to commissioner. He's going to say this to you. I don't care. This ain't the Big 12. I'm not doing a stupid role like that. This I can't say. The Ohio State. What are you going to do, sue me?
I was going to say,
to this rivalry because it's a lot of bad blood, and I don't really like that much either.
It's going to be fun. And I will say, as soon as it was announced years ago now that Texas was going to be coming to the SEC, the Texas versus Texas A&M Twitter war has just raged on. And
I enjoy it. I told them, look, you bunch of college losers, rejects. You don't like me in Austin. You don't like us. We'll hook them horns down, baby. Welcome to the SEC. Because we're going to kick your sorry butt to take you crying back all the way to Austin. I'm going to take your lunch money, make you go cry back home to the principal, too. So all I got to say is, Longhorn fans, get your baby! Hook them horns down, losers! Bring it!
I already know where Matt's going to be on November 30th. Matt, thank you so much for the call. Let's head to Dave in Kentucky. Go ahead, Dave. What's up?
Hey, Alyssa. Do you think Irish Shepherd is mature or physically enough to play NBA, or do you think he should have stayed a couple of more years at Kentucky?
Oh, man. I mean, selfishly, I would have loved for him to stay at Kentucky. What a fun player to watch. What an electric player to watch. I'm sure Mark Pope would have loved that as well. But when it comes to Reed Shepherd's maturity, I can tell you this. Every time I talked to him last season, he did not sound like a freshman. Obviously, he comes from deep UK blood.
Can he physically compete with these guys?
I mean, he physically competed in the SEC, right? And he was pretty darn good at it. So, I mean, I'm not an NBA scout, but it translated in this league.
Well, we hate to see him go.
Yeah, he certainly is a player that left his mark in a short time, and I know BBN certainly wishes he'd be back, but I know y'all will be cheering for him at the next level.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Dave, thank you so much for the call. As we continue to take all of your calls, I see them all. I will get to all of them, I promise. Eric is in Texas. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling to just ask this question. Texas is heading to the SEC. Do you think they're going to be a bully opposite of Georgia?
I 100% think Texas is going to be, I guess, a bully, to use your word, right? I expect Texas to come to the SEC and make their mark immediately, right? They did last season. We were talking about Texas and their early SEC matchups against Alabama and then making it to a college football playoff. So I think Texas is prime. Certainly when you look at their last few recruiting classes, they've been recruiting to compete in the SEC. So I'd be shocked if they didn't. Derek?
Well, I'm still listening. And I think that Quinn Ewers is going to be a top five pick in the draft. And Sark and his play calling, if they get the defense steady, I think this could be the year that they finally break through and win a national championship, what they haven't done since the days of Vince Young. And obviously they came close with Colt McCoy.
Eric, I would not be surprised if that prediction came true, certainly with how good Texas was at the end of last season. I think that only continues. Thank you so much for the phone call. We do have to take a break. When we come back, more of your calls coming up on the other side.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back into the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul on this lovely Feinbaum Friday as we get right back to the phone lines to take more of your calls. Let's head to Catherine in Florida. Catherine, what's going on?
Hi, hon. So happy to talk to you and to see you filling in for Paul. I watched last night on SEC Now between when the game, the Gators and Vandy were playing baseball, but you did a great job. And I just love watching you because you have such skill and grace when you do the interviews and you do the analysis. And I'm amazed at the knowledge that you have of all these different sports. It's just mind-boggling. Plus your stamina for being able to travel and, you know, keep up. So I just wanted to tell you thank you, and it's just great to watch you.
Catherine, you're going to make me cry. That's so nice of you to call in and say that. I really appreciate it, and I really just love what we get to do here. Honestly, I hope that that's what comes across every time that y'all see me on TV. What we do in the SEC, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's an unbelievable world to be able to live in every day, so I just feel really lucky, and I really appreciate you calling in.
I just want to ask one question. I think you said your fiancé graduated from Florida.
Yes, he is a Florida Gator, so we're a little house divided in our house.
What was his major?
He majored in broadcast journalism as well. I think it was either that telecommunications, whatever, kind of the same version. So he also is in sports media, which makes the debates in our house very interesting.
Okay, well, just keep it up, hon. We really enjoy you. You're awesome. And also, Holly Rose, she does a great job also.
Oh, she's a great role model, yeah.
The interviews that y'all do, you know, during the games, like in football and even basketball, and then afterwards, they're just awesome. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Catherine, you're so kind. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for calling. So nice from Catherine. I think we have a tweet. Oh, boy. Richard from Alabama tweeted at me. Thanks, Richard. Love you, too. I love the description of Paul, though, as I'm filling in, yes, for the big old hunk of burning love. Feinbaum. Now, part of me wonders if this is not the first time he's been described as a big old hunk of burning love. Maybe it is, but maybe I'll have to ask him that the next time I see him. Let's take a few more calls before we have to hit this break. Randall is in Birmingham. Randall, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You having a fantastic Friday?
Oh, it's been great because I've been hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, and I've been doing the same thing as well. Listen, I have a question that I wanted to ask. Blip came across my social media that said it was 135 days until the first football game. What do the players, what do the athletes do during that four-month break? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, so it depends on what time of year. Obviously, we're working through spring ball right now, getting ready for those spring games. A lot of guys are focusing on strength and conditioning right now. So probably about a month or so ago, I was down in Gainesville with their quarterback club. I got to go through the Florida facility and walk through the weight room and actually saw the whiteboard with certain areas where certain guys were focusing on building up that strength, because that's not really something that you're going to do once you get into the fall or even as much in fall camp, because you want to make sure your body is already primed and you're already strong enough for the course of a season. So that is a huge focus in the off season. Of course, throughout the summer, you're continuing to usually work with guys on the sides. A lot of players will meet up with each other and go through things throughout the course of the summer until they report to those workouts and camp. And then we get into fall ball and the season will be here before we know it, but plenty to work on and plenty to talk about right now. When we come back, Seth Emerson's going to join us right here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.